Well, let's go back to John chapter 6. If you have a Bible in front of you, just open up there because we'll be referring to that in at various points in the message. But I'm going to read again some words at the end of the chapter, chapter 6 of John's Gospel, verses 67, 68 and 69. Jesus asks the 12, his closest followers, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." At the moment, my thoughts are drawn, as they were last week and I think next week as well, just to think about the changes that are happening in our society just now, because particularly of the pandemic, but also because of the consequences of the pandemic, which are many and far-reaching for the world and not just our own society. Not working? Sorry? It is now. Sorry about that, folks. So yes, thinking about change in our society and the words of Bob Dylan's song, "The Times That Are Changing," came to mind. Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone if your time to you is worth saving. And you better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are changing. Well, that was written before I was born. It's good to be able to say that still. When there was a lot of political upheaval in the United States in the early 60s, and a lot of corruption that needed to be rooted out. There's a lot of upheaval today in our own society, and a lot that no doubt needs to be rooted out today for us as well. The times are changing. And when times change, when people get shaken out of their normal routines, their habits, their unthinking daily rituals, what happens, among many things, is that you find out what really matters to them, and you find out what matters to yourself most. In the story here, people are really finding out what matters to them. Jesus knows what matters to the crowd. There's a big crowd. They've been fed in the most miraculous way by Jesus, and now they're following him. They're wanting more of the same, because in their heads they say, well, here's a great crowd that's just been fed bread and fish by Jesus, and that reminds us of the past. That reminds us of Moses and how in Moses' time the people of Israel were fed miraculously with bread, with manna from heaven every day. So maybe this is another Moses, and we'd like that, they say to themselves. We'd really like to go back to the days of Moses, because at the moment we're oppressed by the Romans, and we're really a pretty miserable nation, and we're at the bottom of the pile. And we'd really like to go back to the all-conquering Israelites of Moses' day and be a nation again. That sounds familiar. And Jesus is not going to be another Moses, because the times are a-changing. He's going to bring something entirely different. He's not going to focus in on political reform, on military campaign to defeat the Romans. He's going to focus in on the problems of the human heart, the problems of evil that is endemic in society. And he is going to deal with that. And he's not going to call people to a new civic and political and national institution. He's going to call people to himself, to following him and to having his priorities. And so this change that's coming with Jesus is going to expose what matters most to the hearts of the Israelites who are going after him. And Jesus tells them that what matters most to them is not what should matter. Verse 26, he says, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." In other words, it's entirely selfish motives that you have for coming after me and trying to find me. And again, it says pretty much the same in verse 30 and 31. "What miraculous sign," they asked Jesus, "will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it's written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So the people are saying, like, what Moses did, can you do that? Can you be like Moses? Can you lead us the way Moses did into fresh glory days for our nation? But do they want what Jesus wants? And do we want what Jesus wants? And what is our changing time showing of what really matters to us? I think it's legitimate for you and for me to ask the question, what is God doing today in our world? And what's he doing with COVID? Because COVID has certainly shaken everything. It's shaken the church. People's ties to the church as a body have been loosened because they've not been able to get together. And individuals have responded to that problem in different ways. And just even looking within our own presbytery area, West Ross and Skye, some churches have actually got stronger through the pandemic, and other churches have been very much weakened through the pandemic. But no one's the same. Because what matters to individuals' hearts is being exposed. And you and I are not the same. The pandemic is exposing motivation, certainly in a spiritual sense. What matters to us? Do we just want to go back to normal? And that means going backwards to something. Or do we want to go forward into something different that God would lead us to, that would be better than what is in the past? We can't go back. We can't go back to normal. So many things have changed irrevocably. There are 150,000 people not here today that might have been if COVID hadn't affected our nation. That's a big change for a lot of lives. Many businesses have gone. Other businesses have appeared and flourished. Prices have changed. They've generally gone up. Government borrowing has gone up in an eye-watering way. And who knows what that will mean for the future. People have struggled. And this is a very, very serious thing. Young people, perhaps especially, with their mental health. And again, we just don't know what that's going to be look like as it plays out over the years ahead. Healthcare has changed very much and is greatly backlogged at the moment with all sorts of consequences. Individual people have changed. Our habits have changed. We've gone online if we're able to do that. Maybe our shopping habits have changed. And then our personal interactions have changed because of our fears relating to the virus and because another pandemic will undoubtedly arise again in the future, just as it has done in the past. And I'm interested in what that's shown of your heart and of my heart. Because for individuals in the church, it's brought a crisis. It's brought them to ask, am I attached to the habit of going to church, or am I attached to Jesus? If you're motivated by the habit of going to church, and then the pandemic has meant that you haven't been in that habit, then you just get out of the habit and you don't go back. And that's happened to many people. If you're motivated by Jesus, then you want to get back together because your church is your family. Your church is a group of people who, like you, want to know Jesus better and to love him. So for some people then, the pandemic has actually loosened their commitments to church, inadvertently perhaps, but they discovered that if they don't go to church, the sky doesn't actually fall. And they just go out of it. And some of these people will never come back. But we do want to encourage as many as possible to do so, because we love them, and we don't just want to be in a community with them, we want to be in a spiritual body with them as well. So people are being exposed. What's in their hearts is being exposed. And now that the pandemic, we hope, is beginning to fade off a bit and just become less virulent, less deadly, less transmissible, we'd hope, we're saying to ourselves, well, here's a chance to get back to normal. And that's just what the folks here are saying. They're saying, well, here's a chance to get back to normal, where Israel is the dominant nation with great leadership, and Jesus looks like the one who can do it. And they're trying to get hold of Jesus. As it says, verse 15, Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force. That's what they want. They want another Moses to be a great leader for their nation. But Jesus is saying to them, that's not what's going to happen. So, for example, at verse 48, I am the bread of life. It's not like Moses and manna from heaven. Jesus says, I myself personally am the bread of life. And your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. It didn't do them much good. Why would you want to go back to that, Jesus is saying, when what you've got now is the living bread that came down from heaven, which your man may eat and not die? Why would you want to go back when you can go forward with me? The times are changing, but they're changing for the better. If you embrace me, you embrace eternal life. If you embrace me, you embrace a future that isn't built upon the crumbling foundations of human institutions. You embrace a future that is built upon the Son of God, your Savior. What do you want? And that's the question. And they answer the question. Because it says in verse 60, on hearing this, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And you might say, well, Jesus, go after them, go get them, bring them back. But the problem is what's in their hearts. What's in their hearts is that they're after a political leader. They're not after a relationship with the living God. What's in their hearts is they want temporary things built on human foundations when Jesus is offering eternal things built on God's foundations. And so if they go away, there are others who'll stay. And that's the test. Jesus says in verse 67 to Peter and the 12, so are you going to go too? You can see that Jesus is not, he's not trying tricks to keep hold of people. You see that? He's not saying, oh well, I better become a bit more populist in my approach. Because he's not trying to get people attracted to his charisma. What Jesus is concerned with is people's future. That they will have life that lasts forever with him. That they'll know peace with God and the forgiveness of their sins. And the joy of his Holy Spirit in their hearts. And that they'll have no fear of death. That they'll be able to look forward to the new heavens and the new earth. That's better. It's better than getting a better leader in number 10 Downing Street. Forgive me, Boris. It's better than just getting the economy on a better footing. All these things are good, but they pass. And honestly, if people put God first in their lives and Jesus first, then these things fall into place. You get better leadership, you get a better economy, you get better prosperity, better jobs, better mental health, all these things. If people get out of themselves and give themselves to God and to one another as well in the service of God. So, what's happening then today is our hearts have been exposed. And what happened was at the beginning of the pandemic, we went from meeting together, churches all over the country, of course, not just us, and all over the world, to meeting by Zoom or YouTube or whatever. And then because you're doing that in your home, no one sees you. So you don't really need to be there. You could even just put on the thing and put your video off, and you can go away and make a cup of tea and go and dig the garden if you want. And then you can just not bother at all. And maybe once a month. And then just, nah. And that's happened to many people. Because they don't really want Jesus. But if your heart wants Jesus, you move in the opposite direction. So if you can't meet together, you'll get on a Zoom or you'll do whatever you can to get together as best as you can. But when you can't meet together, you'll get together. You're desperate for that unity again. So that, very simply, the pandemic and lockdown, all these things, has shown us what really matters to us, what's going on in our hearts, and what is important to us. Peter responds to Jesus when he says, "You don't want to leave too, do you?" And Peter says, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So why would we want to go away? Why would we want to do Zoom when we can actually get together with you, Lord? Why would we just want to eat some bread that's been miraculously provided when we can have you, Jesus?" And this is what's happening. Our lives are being exposed. Sorry. Believe it or not, that is the alarm to remind me to take my immunosuppressant drugs. I forgot to put it off. I'll do that when I go home. Yeah, a lot has changed. A lot has changed for all of us. But if you're here this morning, be glad. Because if you're here this morning, it's saying something about your heart and about your desires that is good, that is positive, that is encouraging, that is to be celebrated, that is to be practiced, that is to be nurtured, that is to be developed. It's saying that there's a desire in your heart, not just for going back to normal, as it were, or going back to something in the past. It's not just for kind of, you know, better economy or better freedoms or better leadership or whatever. The desire in your heart is a desire for Jesus and for who he is and what he brings to your life. And if you see that desire in your heart, even though you maybe haven't recognized what it really is, then encourage it. Speak to God, as we said to the kids. Practice this. It's not easy to pray. It's not easy at all. Because we're doing something that isn't like anything else we do. But speak to God. Just tell him, God, I went to church today. And I went to church because something took me there in my heart. I didn't need to go because I could have stopped going when it was all Zoom and when I maybe didn't even have access to that. I could have stopped going completely and not bothered. But I wanted to be there. And so whatever is in my heart, God, that brings me to get together, which is kind of going against the tide these days, then please, God, nurture that. Please help me to encourage that. Help me to practice things like prayer, things like reading what your word says to me. Help me to practice whatever I can that will help me to get to know you better and to trust you and to know your forgiveness and to know the joy and the peace of a relationship with you that will never ever be taken away, and that will go with me through thick and thin, whatever happens in the future, and will just go on with me into perfection and glory and eternal life in the new creation. It's just a wonderful thing, God. Please, please develop that desire in me. And just do anything you can to get hold of that. Looking at that book, Gentle and Lowly, for example, on a Wednesday night, Heather sends out the details. You can just log on. You don't need to put your video on or whatever if you don't want to sort of be seen. I didn't put the video on last week for a few minutes because I was finishing my dinner. So, you know, it's just being there, being part of it, and nurturing that. And Myrtle led such a beautiful study, just thinking about the heart of Jesus. I am gentle and lowly in heart, Jesus says. Just, you know, that's one thing. That are online, just by email, study groups for daily groups for men and women going on in this in the community. Encourage you to get together with that. But just, you know, anything you can. There's so much access now to beneficial spiritual encouragement. You know, access it. Go for it. Nurture what's brought you here this morning. Nurture that good desire which you might not have had. And you might have been like the crowd that sort of said, oh, we don't want to hear that anymore, we're off. Peter said to me, I want to hear this, because where else am I going to hear what you're offering, Jesus, and what you really, really can give? And believe me, Peter really didn't know very much about what Jesus could give at that stage. He didn't even agree with the idea of Jesus dying on a cross at that stage. He had no idea that Jesus would rise from the dead, and had no idea what the future was going to hold and how great and glorious it was going to be. But one day down the line, Peter would write a letter. And he'd say, of Jesus, you have not seen him, because he was writing to people that were next generation and they hadn't actually seen Jesus. You have not seen him, but believing in him, you rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. In other words, a whole new generation was growing up who had discovered Jesus and wanted to follow him, because what Peter would write was, you're following him into an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. God, help us then to follow our desires to Jesus and with Jesus forever.